20 yards out!
On 11.16 SEN, the Four Diegos.
G'day amigos and welcome to the Four Diegos here on 11.16 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Rodrigo Rodriguez with you, sitting in one of the chairs anyway, and Vinny Venezuela's here as well.
Good evening, Rodrigo.
Warren looking very relaxed as always in sky blue.
You're lucky you got me here, and I'll talk to you about the reason why a little bit later on.
Oh, geez, that's a bit of forward planning there, Warren Diego. It's good radio.
Rare for me.
Yeah, very, very rare. G'day, Carlo.
Hello there, Rodrigo.
Carlo.
Yes,
Carlos.
Actually, I'm very, very low to the ground.
Martin Short.
It
Martin
does make
Short.
A good radio, but I've got the little kiddies chair, and I'm always on the floor. And, Warren, you saying that I'm lucky that you're here.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely you are.
Obviously, you haven't sensed the vibe in this studio when you're here and I'm here for the last 21 years.
Yes. So, hey, thanks to Finey on another great show, as always. And the boys from the Wonder Years.
Yeah, 1968.
1968.
I share a birthday with Milne. So there you go.
Oh, there you go.
That's what I learned on the way in.
Yeah, you just kind of brushed past each other as you... he left and you came in. Not sure what.
No, we shook hands and celebrated the 21st of January.
Hey, we've got a big show for you tonight. We're going to talk about the A-League team of the decade. We'll catch up with Mike McGrath a little bit later on. We're going to take your text messages. What about your phone calls as well? 9429 1116 or 0433 98 1116. Boys, firstly, I just want to congratulate Melbourne Victory.
Yes, indeed. Yeah? Let's congratulate Melbourne Victory.
Let's do that, Vinny.
Let's do it.
Go
congratulations,
for it,
Melbourne Victory. Well done.
Now, look,
you could do it.
I think the game was a winner.
The game.
Even though I'm not a City or a Victory fan, I don't want to show any bias at all. I think the game has been the winner, that we've had someone win the Premier's plate.
No, Carlos, Muskie's been the winner because he's turned the boys around. He's bought well. Yeah. He's galvanised them.
You hate him, don't you?
You know,
it's not even disrespect. You absolutely hate him. It's not even hate respect.
You cannot measure, you can't gauge the sort of resilience he's built in those fourth officials. Yeah. Right? It's not easy to do that.
We have the most, we have the, it's water off the duck's back now with our officials, probably the toughest officials.
In the world.
In the world.
You'll see a lot of our fourth officials at the next World Cup.
Muskie for PM, that's what I'm. No, I don't. I have ultimate respect for Kevin Muscat as a coach.
Good
I told
to
you earlier in the year that he would make a better coach than he ever was a player, and he was a great player.
That's it.
Yeah, but off here you've told me you hate him too.
Off here.
That's off the record, but
not now.
There you go. Listens to this show, Carlos.
Of course he does.
Thanks very much.
Of course
his kids do too, which...
Oh, well, there you go.
They're doing a lot of media with him lately too. That was good to see them on the post-game interview.
You know what I want? Because I think they're about 12, 13 years old now. You know how they usually carry the little babies out? You know, I want him to carry his two kids out, 13-year-old kids.
Yep.
You know, and then do the interview that way.
I want to see someone who's got 33-year-old kids just have them beside him or her when they do an interview.
Yeah, right. Watch the watch Mick Mouldhouse break his record.
He'll
have some older children in his by his side, I'm sure, against Collingwood. But hey, no, seriously, well done to the Victory. They deserve the Premier's plate. I even read just this evening that Graham Arnold basically said if it wasn't for their injuries, they would have won the Premier's plate.
Such a gracious
by 10
loser,
points.
Isn't he? Yeah.
I reckon he might have been doing it tongue in cheek. He was doing it in front of the throng, you know, in Sydney. It was their presentation night, I thought, their celebration. But
now, Rodrigo, I know you're really driving a fantastic ship here.
Well,
but on one of our mini TV screens right now, I've just seen Mitch Langerak pull off that save against Bayern Munich that in that incredible penalty shootout where they actually missed all four. Bayern Munich missed four, missed three out of target completely, and then Mitch, terrific save with the fourth one. And they made the way all the way to the German Copperdale Kissing Your Sister.
And this is even better radio because while you've been talking, yep. I've been watching Tommy Rogic do a beautiful turn and score. And you know, he's almost getting back to some of that class.
You know,
that,
well, he hasn't been playing for so long, you'd think he'd be 26, 27 now, right? But he's only 22 still.
still.
And his groins are good. Apparently,
you were thinking about his groins are 26 or 27.
I tell you what, you know, Anne should put him into the team for Kyrgyzstan, because if you ever want to test your groins, you go to Kyrgyzstan. The trip, the weather, you know, the nocturnal activities.
The amazing thing about Tommy Rogic is that he was 22 when he left 22 years ago, so he's doing very well.
Yes.
Hey, look, so we'll talk about the A-League upcoming finals, of course, a little bit later on, but Vinny Venezuela, there was an auspicious announcement, and there, you know, the wonderful event in Sydney where they named the A-League Team of the Decade.
PFA.
I should say, yeah, Team of the Decade.
Voted by the players.
And it wasn't just a small sample. This is 400 past and present players. These guys know what they're talking about.
Yep, they're
absolutely
on the pitch.
So just the hot topic tonight, but why don't we
go through the team first?
Let's go through a couple.
Okay, goalkeeper Eugene Galekovic. Defenders, the calculator, Cassio. Kevin Muscat, the captain.
I have my doubt. By the way, I have my doubts about Cassio.
Let's talk about it. Patrick Sveinsvik, the other centre-half. Ivan Franich. In midfield, Manny Mackay, KFC Carlos Hernandez, Thomas Broich. Up forward, three prolific prongs, Archie Thompson, Berisha and Smeltz. On the subs bench, Michael Theo, the goalkeeper, Adama Traore, Mark Milligan, Steve Corica, Alessandro Del Piero, coach Ange Postecoglou, and incredibly, the players picked their favourite referee too, or the best referee, Sribray Delosky.
Yeah.
Obviously, some of the players who were maybe former players didn't watch his performances.
Well, he's had 8 good years, Carlos.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's probably the most out of the rest.
Yeah. So on the back of that, Vinny. You had a little bit of doubt over one or two of them.
I did.
I've got doubts about a lot.
I had doubts about Cassio. I mean, he's good, but I wouldn't have thought he'd make the squad. But who am I? I'm just a, you know, broadcaster. A humble broadcaster.
Own that, Vinny.
I will indeed.
Yep, good.
A good broadcaster, but a humble one.
Well, don't go too far.
Well, that's right. And
good and humble.
KFC Carlos, as much as I like the guy, I just don't feel that he tracked back enough to... you know, I don't think when a man carries X amount of timber, that he shouldn't automatically make these sorts of squads.
See, Vinny, I think it's an obligation of you that if you're going to get rid of somebody, you got to tell us who you're going to replace them with.
I would have started
with Traore instead of Cassio.
Traore, yes.
I would put him in there easily.
I reckon Milligan should be in that team, not on the bench.
Yeah, and I would have thought a guy like... The balance is between, I suppose, absolute class and longevity. Like Patrick Sveinsvik, you know, like a Nicolai Topo-Stanley who has...
No.
Why not?
It's been the last couple of years.
He's only just resurrected
Tariq Elrich.
Well, only this last year he's been
breakout
good.
Year.
Yeah, only this last year. I mean, West Sydney Wanderers dumped him 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But Vinny, we've got a hot topic around this one on 0433981116.
Well, we have. We've got... Sort of two.
Start with one.
The first one is, okay, that's the team of the century, and who's your dud team of the decade? Not of the century, of the decade. Who are the people who you'd think, geez, I'd like to play them.
Yeah.
I want them. I want to verse them in a big game.
And by the way, the back four are the 40 Agos.
Yeah, that's right. So,
that's
0433981116. Or give us a call, 94291116. Tell us what you think about that team.
It's a dud team of the decade. It's a dud squad of the decade.
That's right. But if you want to call us and have a chat about
yes,
the
of course.
Team, you know, please do.
A lot of captains at the moment.
There are, that's fine.
Except for me.
So yeah, I just wasn't listening.
No, that's fine.
A lot of captains.
It's not a very good thing for radio. But look, here's a couple of text messages already. Of course, Deb Ray's loved by the players. They've been giving plenty of. He's been given them plenty of favourable decisions when they've played against Melbourne Victory. Yeah, there's a Victory supporter, and Milligan surely should be starting. That's Daz in
Geelong. I'm thinking that too. Yeah,
I would argue that if you have if you say an Elrich or a Topper Stanley can't make the team. I would argue that Milligan's second stint in the A-League was by far better than his first stint in the A-League. Like, I think his performances at the Victory, where he's re-established himself as a Socceroo, and everything is probably better than the first stint that he had. Now, he's played with Sydney FC, played with Newcastle.
Yeah. So he's come and gone for the first half of the decade. It's really when he's come back to Victory where I think he's been an absolute star.
See, I would have thought that a Mark Milligan, and you probably hound me down for this, there's similarities between him and Mark Bridge in terms of, you know, they've had good times at lots of clubs. Certainly Bridge's time at Western Sydney has been good, but he hasn't continued that upward curve that Milligan has.
He's plateaued, Bridgie. He's a terrific A-League player, does okay in Asia, scores the odd goal, but he's not Socceroo material. He won't get to that level. But where Mark Milligan, he can go and play. If Crystal Palace come in for him again, he'd be able to play in the EPL.
I told you,
he wouldn't be a star, he'd be as good. Are you crying, Warren?
No, I've got a tear duct problem. But
there's a tear coming in his eye. It's very disconcerting.
And I can't believe, and with all due respect to Eugene Galekovic, how does Michael Theo not start as the starting goalkeeper in that
team? We got a call on Half Show today, exactly the same thing.
Oh, my God. He's won 4 flags?
Yeah, but okay. But Eugene Galekovic is not a dud either. He's actually made the last 3 World Cups.
5 premierships.
Why then is Michael Theo not being picked for the Socceroos?
Good question.
As a third keeper?
Good question.
Eugene Galekovic, I think, has gone to the last 3 World Cups as the third keeper.
There's a tape of his game for Coventry that I think still getting around.
That might have...
For Norwich.
Players must have had a video night one night before they voted.
Yeah.
What's really sad is for me is that someone like Lucas Neal could have made this list. He could have made this list if he just hung around. Yeah. Bit of patience.
Hey, 9429 1116. Tell us what you think about the team, or give us a couple of nominations for the dud team of the decade. Let's go to Jake in St Kilda. G'day, Jake. Welcome to the show.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Yeah, very good, well. Mate. You got a nomination.
Yeah, Mario Jardel. came over on a guest stint. And he was atrocious.
He was, wasn't he?
And he was on Big Bucks.
And by the way, didn't he score a goal in a European Cup final or something like that, Jake? I know he's a star in, I think, for Porto. He was actually a really well-credentialed Brazilian international and also a player in Europe for a long time. So when I heard that Newcastle was signing him, I thought, what a great pickup until I saw him. He certainly didn't have the body type to perform at that top level, but that's a good choice there, Jake.
Thanks very much, Jake, for your call.
You know, one of the things that disappoints me is that none of our golden generation of Socceroos are really in that team in terms of coming back after being overseas and playing in the A-League and establishing themselves. I would have hoped that we would have had a couple, but they just haven't done it.
Yeah, but they've done their bit. I mean, the Flyers, they're just here to give back. When you come to give back, you cruise. It's not like
Del Piero made it.
Well,
Dwight York didn't make it, which is probably fair.
It is a bit ironic that Del Piero was selected in the 150 best ever players who ever played this game on earth, right, in the history of the game. Yep. And he couldn't make our team of the century. And I looked at his record. He scored 24 goals in 48 games. So, like, he did in the bad team too.
Yeah, he did. That's
so, true. But is he as good as Thompson or
No, by pure stats, the prongs that they've got there have done the business.
It's funny. Is he as good as Thompson? I think there's a bit of iron in that anyway. But in
terms of tracking back, him and Carlos, KFC Carlos.
It'd be a slow
same,
team.
Same,
yeah,
surely.
True, Vinny.
You'd rather have him in there.
Yeah, Vinny
KFC.
Loves the tracking back.
He does.
Very
he
important.
Does.
Yeah, yeah.
So very does Ange Postecoglou.
In the modern game.
Yes, of course.
You've got to get back.
Getting some good text messages about, some of the other players in the other team, the Bizarro team of the decade. Kasper Tafta as captain and Emil Heskey as up forward.
Yes.
There you go. That's not a bad one. Hi, guys. Good show. Dud team candidate, former Melbourne Heart player, the Mosquito Mifsud.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. He'd be one of the impotent prongs.
I would have thought that Lubo makes the...
Lubo was a good player. He just lost his way a little bit.
In the studio.
Just a little bit.
Yes, but it's like a miss. If it's a misfit team, Carlos,
Lubo may well make it on that criteria.
Yes, but the dud team is not necessarily a person who's an obtuse thinker.
Yes. Correct.
A dud is a person who really shouldn't be playing at that level because of his physical limitations and also skill level.
Vinny, you'd like this play. There's a couple of nominations for Leandro Love as the captain of the dud team of the decade.
Leandro Love.
Was it? I think was it Alessandro? Did Victory have a Brazilian called Alessandro?
Yeah, the fullback.
Gravity, I used to call him.
But he was okay. He was a total dud.
Getting nominations from Pedro too. Simon Storey.
No, Simon Storey is good. He's a premiership player. What's Pedro on the? That's what he's good for. Panelling. Simon Storey won a premiership.
He likes his nomination. Yeah. He's enjoying it.
No, he would.
He likes a lot of
things. But I tell you what, where would David Villa come into it?
He's not the dud.
No, but
didn't play enough.
He didn't play enough. Obviously, apparently, one of the criteria you had to play more than one season to get selected. But your worry, Warren, was Fred. Where's he?
Where's Fred?
Fred, that's right. Fred should be in there.
Where's Fred?
In place of who?
He could play in place of Carlos.
KFC Carlos. KFC. Flores didn't make the cut either.
Well, that's the one I remember. I don't know if you were with me that night, Vinny, when we were at Amy Park and watching Flores live, and he ripped Victory apart.
I was there.
At his absolute best. Was it Victory or Hart? Anyway, he ripped them apart, and this guy was floating with the ball at his feet, and he's almost strumming his guitar while he was doing it.
Now, I don't know this. And
the only time someone was allowed to bring a guitar on a pitch, by the way.
Johnny Warren Medal. Is the Johnny Warren Medal voted by the players?
I think so. No, that's a...
I'd be interested to know of the 10, well, there'd be 9 previous winners. How many of those guys actually made the team? I wonder if every one of those Johnny Warren medalists made the team. And I shouldn't be asking a question. I don't
Marcos
know the
Flores
answer
Flores is not.
Flores is not.
Fernandez won it. Broish won it.
Musket hasn't won it.
Do you think Muskie's the clear and obvious choice for captain?
Oh, yeah. When he was playing for Victory, he in a limited team, and in those days, probably some people might have said a coach that probably wasn't as adventurous as they are these days. He dragged Victory to a couple of trophies. He dragged them kicking and screaming. Like, he was the players, his teammates were more frightened of him than the opposition. And it was just through his cajoling and his aggression and all the rest of his leadership. That's why Victory won those things. He's as close to a coach being on the field than anywhere I've ever seen.
Look, and if you want to keep the squad safely under the salary cap, make him coach as well.
It's true.
Good thought. It's true. Rutger Wurm, remember?
Well,
there's a writer here. Complete rubbish once the temperature pushed past 25 degrees Celsius. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but I was the same. You don't want to play in the heat.
That's right.
It's probably
he was not too bad, the Wurm.
Yeah. Ricardinho?
Yep.
Yes.
There's probably a few from the North Queensland
Fury
that would make the team. In fact, I love their... What was the name of their manager who used to wear Richie Beno colours? Beige.
The Austrian guy.
The Austrian guy.
But you shouldn't actually... Again, that's the second time tonight. Don't ask a question you don't know the answer to.
No.
What about... you mentioned one earlier.
Love Bone Carbone. He was good.
He was good.
The one I was thinking of is Brian Dean.
Yeah.
The big centre forward with a heavy touch. Yeah. I think it was he with Perth?
Yes, he was.
He was Perth for a little while,
There you go. Hey, 942-911-16, give us a call or send us a text message on 0433-98-1116. Having a bit of fun with the PFA A-League's team of the decade.
Do you want to know what my problem is?
Yeah, why don't we move to that
break?
Just before the break? No, well, tell us what your problem
I'm really
is, and
looking,
maybe we'll come and
is
discuss
this like
it
embarrassing bodies on radio, Warren?
I'm really looking for genuine advice.
All right.
Because I've fallen out of love with my football teams. Melbourne City and Liverpool, I've fallen out of love with them. And I really don't know whether whether a break in seasons is going to be enough for me to reinvigorate my love for my teams. And it's really disconcerting. What do I do?
Yeah, Thai massage works for me, won't it?
Yeah. there's a line there.
But Warren, when you feel like that, I've known you all your life.
Yes.
When you feel like that, you usually just go wandering.
Yeah, I know. But
you just go wandering, trying other things.
I've divorced Liverpool once I've decided Bournemouth will be my second team next year, but I'm just shattered.
Follow Stevie Gerrard.
No, I can't do that either. It's just really, really devastating. So if anyone's got any advice
any
for me,
therapist out there, any football therapist, which I suppose at this time of night, all our listeners are football therapists.
That's right.
Can you maybe, as another hot topic, can you give Warren a little bit of advice about how he can, mend a broken heart?
Yeah, I'm broken.
Heart?
I got up this morning.
He's looking for a happy ending.
I got up this morning to watch the Hull game. And I actually
what a
feel
waste
like,
of time I've, that would have been.
I know,
really?
I know. I feel like the Liverpool players themselves have fallen out of love for themselves. It's really... And Melbourne City, don't get me started. That is... Yep. The most embarrassing goal I've ever seen in professional football.
We'll talk about the finals and some of the teams in the finals after this break. Let's take a break and come back with more of the Four Diegos on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport.
Injury-plagued former England international Darren Anderton once said, "Whenever I break down with injury, it's always sick note. People read it."
On 1116 SEN, the Four Diegos.
Yes, we're here on a Wednesday night, as always, and coming up to the A-League finals, of course. We'll talk about those.
Are you excited, Rodrigo?
I am excited, Carlos.
Because you're usually very contained.
No, but I love the finals.
Yes.
I love the Premier's plate. Mm. And because, we grew up here, the finals has an added excitement.
Yeah. I tell you what, it was a waste of time last weekend's game, wasn't it? Really, last weekend's rounds, I found it difficult to watch. Because I usually watch every game every weekend. I tape it and watch it at some stage. I found it really difficult to get through every game.
What I do like about what's going on, and there's clearly a push for the Premier to be the Premiership. So Victory won the Premiership, and now the finals is more of a championship, a bit like a cup final, a final for...
A lottery.
Yeah, a bit of a lottery. It is a lottery. Yeah. And they're making it more so like that, it's sudden death all of a sudden. So I'm actually liking what's going on. They need to actually... The award needs to be a little bit greater, or the reward needs to be a bit greater for the Premier, I think, for the Premiers. But,
do you know what it is?
No, I don't think they get...
I think there's money.
I think they get a plate.
Yeah, no, I think there's money, but...
not a lot, Carlos.
Yeah, well, it mustn't be a lot, because I don't talk about it much. So.
No, you get more for winning the grand final.
I was going to say... I'd be interested to see what this caller says, but I wouldn't take the Asian Cup back, because it was the best thing that I'd experienced, within Australia for football. But I think it's taken away a little bit from the second half of the A-League season. And when the finals are in May, as much as they'll be exciting, it sort of gets consumed naturally by everything else. So I'll be excited, but I think it'll be better when it goes back earlier, where you can get some clear air around the finals. Although Fox are doing a fantastic job of promoting it and doing everything like that, but I am crying again.
Warwick is very emotional just talking about that. He's crying again, ladies and gentlemen out there.
He'll be fine. Warren,
just say Melbourne City. He just starts going to.
Just another hot topic. How does Warren stop crying on the day tonight?
Well, Paul from Heidelberg on 942-911-16 might have an answer to Warren's predicament that he's fallen out of love
and he's crying
with Liverpool and Melbourne City. How does he fall back in love? Paul, welcome to the show.
Evening, guys. I have a solution. There's probably a number of different ways you could approach it, but my solution would be to follow a team that's guaranteed to absolutely let him down at every opportunity and fail dismally. Like my own, I was going to say beloved Leeds United, but that's not the case. It's more like a bitter, we won't divorce, we're waiting for each other to die sort of relationship. I check their scores through gritted teeth and I'm invariably let down.
Yep.
But a year following Leeds will send him running back into the arms of his beloved, shiny, glittering Premier League, steadfast Liverpool, and he'll never turn his back on them ever again.
There you go, mate.
Oh, that's very, very
Thanks,
nice.
Paul. Look, he's Thanks, Paul. Dr. Feelgood.
He's actually stopped crying. Anyway.
No, it's a really good solution. It's a really good solution because I've tried divorce. That didn't work. I can't take a break. I'm not going to subscribe to going to a country where you can have two wives. I mean, I think you've got to have one. So I don't, it's a big dilemma for me, I'm telling you.
Thanks very much, Paul. Warren, here's one from the text message here. If you can't love the teams, now go to the blue side of Victory and Chelsea for glory. Why not? That's some advice. You were seeking some advice. That is some...
Yeah, I appreciate that. But there's certain things you're prepared to do in life and there's others that you're not, and that's not one.
You could just follow Suarez around, Warren. He's kicking goals at the moment.
I didn't love Suarez as much as I love Stevie G. So, yeah, that's a bit of an... It might be all Stevie G orientated, but, yeah, I don't want to talk about
it. No, I don't think you've been the same since Suarez took that, bite at the World Cup and sort of...
You know, the funny thing is, Vinny, I can remember exactly where we were. we were actually dry. We were on the buses going from Rio.
Yep.
From Sao Paulo to Rio, which should have taken about 4.5 hours and took about 14 and a half hours.
Yep.
We're on the bus, and that was quite bizarre.
It was bizarre. Hey, getting some text messages about the dud team of the Deco, getting some names there, Vinny Venezuela. Where are we?
So is Vinny Venezuela one of the dud names?
No, not at all. Ube Luzardo, big centre-back for the team of the century. Magilton Supreme and end mid-season signing. Ube from eBay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, remember him? Yeah. Also, there's a few more. We're getting
Rodrigo. Would Magilton be the coach of the dud team?
Could be. Absolutely. Nay Fabiano is another one. Remember him?
Yep. Yes.
Yep, I do.
I thought he had a couple of... Vinny, you're the victory man. I thought he had a couple of good games, didn't he, Nay?
I've just filed him away into the Where Are They Now sort of section.
All right, boys, let's talk about the finals coming up. It is any team that loses this one will be out of the finals. And the first game, which is on at Adelaide Oval on Friday night, it's Adelaide United taking on Brisbane Roar. It's third against sixth. So it's going to be a good game at Adelaide Oval. I know that the Adelaide boys weren't too happy about that, but they'll get a big crowd there.
I'll tell you what, Brisbane's record at Cooper Stadium is really good. Brisbane haven't lost to Cooper Stadium in 8 games. So I reckon it's a good thing that Adelaide's moved the game from Cooper's to Adelaide Oval, because obviously Brisbane are very comfortable at Hindmarsh, aren't they?
So I think Brisbane, do you think give Brisbane a chance to win this against Adelaide United, who've kind of been a bit up and down over the last 6 weeks or
no
so?
Chance.
No chance
for Brisbane?
No, Adelaide will win comfortably in my humble opinion.
If Brisbane win this game, they've had a terrific season after what they did early on and the struggles they had, the players they lost, change of coach, all that sort of stuff. I personally believe it would be one of the better performances by teams if they can, at least win one final, given what they've gone through. And also they played in Asia. They're playing in Asia at the moment. They've done very well.
I think they're a bit toothless, a bit up front.
They've lost Berisha. They've lost Berisha.
It's hurt them.
Yeah, of
it's
course.
But I fancy Adelaide at home. I actually think Adelaide, when they get their stuff together, they're sensational to
watch.
It's
the following week that worries me about Adelaide, because I don't travel or haven't travelled well, and I would have thought
they might not be playing the following week.
No, but they'll be winning and then playing the following week against Sydney.
We're asking you about this week's game.
Well, they'll win. I said that.
Yeah, so I think they'll win too. And then Wellington Phoenix take on Melbourne City at Westpac Stadium on Sunday. No game Saturday this weekend, but it's on Sunday.
Well, Vinny, Warren, what are your thoughts? I mean, as a Melbourne City fan, I know you dropped off them at the moment.
No, I'm just out of love with them, Carlos. Yeah, I mean, I've dropped off completely.
But surely they've got a chance in Wellington.
Oh, there's no doubt they've got a chance. But on recent form, their last two performances have been... Look, I haven't got a thesaurus with me, but insipid would be too kind to them.
No, Pardew called it pathetic.
It's pathetic. They have been pathetic. And I don't know whether there's a sense that they've been waiting for the finals and they've been the team that, once Perth were confirmed as not being in the finals, they pretty much couldn't move. It was just a matter of which team they'd play away. But I don't know where their gears are going to come from.
But all they need to do is win 1-0.
Mm. Yeah, that's
all
they
do. I mean, over the 90 minutes plus extra time, even penalties.
If that was going to be enough, I'd be confident. But they struggle to keep clean sheets. And they genuinely do struggle to keep clean sheets. And I think if you had a table of teams who have won games away from home, they'd be in the bottom three. So there's a couple of things that absolutely go against them. But Wellington were better on the weekend against Sydney, probably could have got a result in that game. I mean, they missed a penalty. And previously, I think they'd copped 2-3-0 results in consecutive games at home. So you give City a hope, but their form is just average. And you'd think, which any of one of these teams get through, that they're not really going to trouble the victory the following week. I know we
it's
are talking finals.
Warren, you can't be sure about this.
But in saying that, Carlos, in the final system, you've had to finish, no team has won the premiership that hasn't finished in the top two. So it's a very much like the AFL. You've really got to finish in the top two.
No, that's what history says. That's what the stats say. No, well, it's changed. Over the last couple of years, it's changed because there's no home and away games.
And there's no double chance.
What's the big deal about Melbourne City beating Wellington this week, then beating Victory? I mean, that's only two games, and then you've got a grand final. So
it is.
There's no reason. When you
but
had the
form's there for a reason.
Yeah, well, I know, but with sudden death, this is the lottery part of the final system. Yeah. The best team is not necessarily going to win the grand final. But if they do win, if Victory do win the grand final, it's a fantastic performance.
Because they'll completely
make a statement that they've been the best team this season.
All the teams in the finals are capable of playing some fantastic football and have played some fantastic football this year. Having said that, the ones that have wavered more than the others would be Brisbane and Melbourne City.
Definitely.
Right? So anything could happen.
But Brisbane look much better than Melbourne City right now.
Oh, yes, they do indeed. But
they're coming in some decent form.
But Melbourne City has also shown a capacity to get in front of goal and an incapacity to finish off some great build-up play. So given that, a couple of things go right for them. They're two zip up, and they can win. They can win against anybody. But yeah.
My concern with City against Wellington is who's going to stop Nathan Burns. I mean, when Nathan Burns runs with ball at his feet, I mean, all you saw from Tariq Alrich's goal on the weekend. The City players don't like to tackle.
And they've lost Melling, who was really their hard enforcer in the middle of the park.
Yeah, but they managed against Wellington at home. Recently, so they can.
No, they lost 5-1 last time they played
against Wellington here.
Oh, okay, Melbourne sorry. But in Wellington, they lost 5-1.
So they can cope. They most recently they managed to cope with him. Now he's won a lot of awards this week, so he might be weighed down by that too. The pressure to perform there, but it'll be a good game. I would expect Wellington to take it out though.
Yeah, look, I do too, Vinny Venezuela. What about you, Warren? You were tipping
your
team?
Look. Love should be able to see through different things, so I'll be fronting up on Sunday, hopefully watching them get a win. I wouldn't mind going.
Who's going to be your match winner?
Oh, I think Josh Kennedy, if there's going to be a guy that...
There's no evidence that Josh will be your match
winner. Look, I also think Aaron Moy is clearly the classiest player. So,
can you imagine if Aaron Moy was playing in a team that was playing consistently?
Oh, he'd almost win the...
Yeah, surely he'll be going overseas, won't he? I actually heard that he may be going to just do some off-season training at Manchester. Not that he's going to join them, but he's one guy that they're quite happy to say, listen, go and get some more experience over there. But surely he'll have to be going overseas soon. He's a terrific player. Yeah.
Like one of the clubs in Manchester or just the park
Manchester? No, Manchester City. They've got that reciprocal exchange student sort of stuff going on.
Do you know, City have only beaten Wellington once in their last 11 games too.
And they've been pathetic most of the time they've played them. So, look,
it's good
not
form,
a lot of...
It's good form for a sudden death shot of boil over. That's
so
what
about you, Carlos? Do you reckon they'll win?
I think they'll win. I think City will win. I notice that, you know, what I hate is where a team is insipid on the weekend and then they go to training on Monday and they kick the hell out of each other and the media's there and everyone says, oh, they're with dogs with raw meat, right? And... For me, I don't know why they do that training. They can't do it in the game. And the fact that they've got to remind themselves of training worries me, but it's a one-off game. And whenever City's done that, whenever they got angry at training, they've always got a result the following weekend, whether it's a draw or a win. So, but look, like I said, my worry for City is Burns. How are you going to stop Bonaventure and Burns? Because they're two class players. But I still reckon City, they have to. The last time they were in finals, they were pathetic.
Perth, yes.
And they had a 3-0 loss a few years ago, and I don't think they can afford, for their own careers, the players and the coaches' own careers, they can't afford
that's what's on the
to
line.
Have a mediocre game.
I have to say that if it goes to penalties, I'll go for Melbourne City because Phoenix are just hopeless
from the spine.
They're just hopeless.
In the game against
Burns, I've seen him miss a dud penalty. Bonaventure missed a dud.
True.
Absolutely. Jeez. Hey, here's one from Aaron in Werribee. It's kind of like how the show's kind of rolling today. Are you guys drinking at a pub? Melbourne City don't deserve to be there. Thanks, Aaron. That's how we feel tonight. It's one of those shows tonight. Yeah. You know, the game, it's winding down. We're not having a beer, I've got to say. So
true.
I need to put that on the
There's
table.
Rules yeah. about that, isn't
there?
There
is rules about yeah, that. We don't even have any drinks in the studio here. We're very, very professional.
No food zone.
Hey, we're going to take a break now, and when we come back, we'll catch up with Mike McGrath from the UK right here on the Four Diegos on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport.
If hard man Vinnie Jones was a cab driver and he had Andrea Bocelli in the back seat, he'd rev up the engine for 50 minutes and charge him full fare. To all you mothers out there, world footy really is a nice game for the kiddies. This is the Four Diegos. Don't think it's funny. I've been out on the street just walking along and they shout, sick note. It's not nice. Darren, get over it. We are the Four Diegos.
On 1116 SEN, the Four Diegos.
Yes, and coming up after the Diegos, it's All Night Appetite from 12 till 6. We've been talking tonight about the PFA A-League team of the decade and even the dud team of the decade. A mention here from Macon. Remember him?
He's all right.
Yeah, the Welsh winger Jeff Calloway was also in there. So,
yes, that's right.
Hey,
he's a backpacker.
Absolutely, that's right. Yeah, just passing through.
Yeah, that's right.
Why don't you come and play for us?
I didn't mind Calloway. He was Magilton. Well, no, Ernie played him.
Ernie picked him up. Astute signing.
Absolutely. Hey, let's go to the UK now and catch up with our man Mike McGrath from the Sun. G'day, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hi guys. Evening.
Yes, it's Rodrigo here. Vinny's here as well. So is Warren and Carlos Alberto Diego. Now, hey, Mike. Bournemouth captured everyone's imagination. Obviously, championship team on the brink of English Premier League promotion. What's that been like? Tell us, give us a little bit about the flavour of that story in the UK.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic story the last couple of days. It was Monday night. They got their result that they needed, which means they go into Saturday's game. I think it's about a 10 goal swing they need. They're more or less in the Premier League, and it's just been a great time for them because Eddie Howe is their manager. He's really getting a really fantastic reputation as one of our best young managers over here, and he fully deserves to be in the Premier League. We don't know too much about their Russian owner, but I suppose we kind of get used to the secrecy around Russian owners with Roman Abramovich, but there will be another Russian owner in the Premier League next year, and with them, you know, comes some pretty decent football as well, which they vowed to stick to, and we'll wait to see what they'll do in the transfer market, see if they can have a crack, a bit like Leicester did this season, because it looks like they're going to stay up, it's a real feel-good factor around that club at the moment.
Now, Mike, it's Carlos. What I like about Bournemouth is when I was growing up, they had a star striker called Ted McDougall. Remember Teddy McDougall there? Mike, you're a youngster. I know you probably weren't even born, but Teddy was a fantastic header of a ball. They were playing a lot of third and second division football in those days, but you'd see them a lot in the FA Cups, and they'd always put the big one in for the FA Cup. But their stadium's only got a capacity of about 11,000. How are they going to cope in the EPL with 11,000 capacity?
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of the money that they'll get from TV and from being in the Premier League, they say immediately it has to go on Dean Court, which is small, and also just general things like having the facilities to have Match of the Day and Sky TV come to their ground. That needs a lot of work as well. Palace kind of had a similar problem a year ago as well, which they had to work very quickly to do. But I think it will just be a really great place for Premier League travelling supporters to go as well for the day out. Bournemouth, it's a bit of a stag do city as well. I think people will really enjoy going there to visit and also to watch their team in what is not really you'd call a Premier League stadium.
What sort of city is it, Mike? Sorry, just didn't quite get that.
Oh, it's what you'd call a Bucks night.
Ah, stag. That's what we thought you said.
Stag do.
Right.
Yeah. Bournemouth is a bit like that. When I went down there to cover a game
for your Bucks turn, was it like?
It wasn't my own, but I saw that they'd even have shops there.
So you just tagged along onto someone else's Bucks turn just because you were there, Mike? Is that what you do?
You've got to get a free drink where you can.
Well, the memberships will be interesting.
Yeah, buy two memberships, get one stag night free.
Yeah. it's a hangover capital of the world.
Yes. Now, Mike, I wasn't going to ask this question, but I need a little bit of your help and advice. I've fallen out of love with Liverpool in a serious way, and I don't know whether a summer is going to be enough for me to reignite that. What's going to happen at Liverpool? Is there going to be an acceptance that Sturridge has been injured, they've lost Suarez, so they've effectively lost 60 goals, and this was probably the season they needed to have? Or is there going to be a sense, I know the owners have maintained this really conservative line and supporting the manager, Brendan Rodgers, and stuff, but what do you see is going to happen? Is it one more year of just steady as she goes before any other changes might be made?
Well, there will definitely be changes because they need a forward line to support Sturridge. Rodgers is looking to bring people in. There's no question about that. It's just who they can get in. They are not as big a payers as United, Arsenal, City or Chelsea, which is why they're below them in the league. And really, they don't spend the fees either that those guys have. They're at a crossroads a bit, I think. You know, do they want to be title contenders, or are they happy in terms of where they are? I think that's a fair reflection of what the outlay that they've paid for their players. So they can throw a bit more money at it, I think, if they want to be title contenders. But I don't think there's anything to suggest that the current squad is going to challenge. You know, even if Sturridge comes back and has a full season, so I think that there's a lot of work to be done there.
Mike, what's your opinion? Do you think Balotelli's time as a football player in England is over? I can't see him coming back from the stint he's had at Liverpool, and he's failed once already. My own personal opinion is that he's under a lot of pressure, even as a footballer in Europe, let alone England. How do you see it?
Well, I think it's over for him in England, definitely. I think his agent said when he signed for Liverpool that this, you know, he's in the last chance saloon, and I mean he's blown it, really. He's really blown it. Last time I covered a Liverpool game, it was against Arsenal, and they Balotelli, but Rodgers was clearly upset and said that Balotelli had pulled himself off the game because he said he wasn't fit enough to travel, implying that it was Balotelli that ruled himself out, not the medics. I think he's probably, I mean, he's. I think he's going to head back to Italy. I think that's a natural place for him to go, if not somewhere like Turkey, maybe. But I just think, I just don't really see where, he's not going to play for a top club over here again. Liverpool are a massive club. I don't think anybody above them in the league would take him. It takes somebody lower league, lower in the Premier League to take a gamble on him, but I don't really see that they can do that. So I think Italy is probably the safest bet.
Just next time you're interviewing him, maybe just mention Central Coast Mariners. he might, I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but they're always looking for a marquee. They don't quite have one.
Fantastic beaches down in Terrigal. I think, Mike, were around visiting us a few years ago, you might have gone to Terrigal.
And they do good stag parties there too.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mike, Eden Hazard, the PFA Player of the Year, has had a fantastic season with Chelsea. Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he have a bit of a cold war with Jose Mourinho last season, and that Jose was really on his back about changing his attitude?
Yeah, I mean it's not been plain sailing for him at all. I mean he even had that situation where he had the ball, he had the row with the ball boy, and I mean, Jose's been fairly honest about him. I do recall that actually, that he, you know, it might have been about his work rate, and obviously Mourinho doesn't suffer fools when it comes to that, because he got rid of Juan Mata and others who he doesn't see as part of his philosophy or part of his tactics there. But I mean, in the last 12 months, he's gone to a different level. I think he's gone from, you know, precocious talent to, you know, a match winner. He looks like a Galactico in the Premier League, which is definitely what we need, because a lot of them have gone over to Spain. But he really looks like he's world class, and that last little bit, that last little acceleration, that improvement has really come in the last 12 months.
Mike, I never saw Van Gaal's press conference after being thrashed by Everton 3-0. I just wonder if that's a reflection on Manchester United being poor, or Everton demonstrating that they should be a lot better and a lot higher up than what they have been. Because of all the teams that have had a bad season, they're probably one of the poorest in terms of their performance during the season.
I mean, I wasn't at Goodison Park, but obviously I've seen the footage and been on top of the fallout from it. And Van Gaal was scathing on his players. He said that they lost the game. He could tell from the demeanour in the warm-up. So I think you'd probably think, if you're looking at that result, United were as bad as Everton were good. Everton have a way of kind of raising their game for these kind of games. Arsenal, they always seem to do well at Goodison. Obviously they were good, but I think United can't be happy with that kind of attitude.
Hey, Mike, as always, it's good having a chat to you and listening to you. Where are you this weekend?
I'm going to Leicester, actually. I'm going to go tonight where Chelsea can move a step closer to the title, and then I'm going to go back on Saturday where Newcastle are there and they can take a step closer to relegation trouble.
Well, Mike, you're living the dream, mate.
No.
Enjoy it, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Cheers, guys. Speak to you soon.
There's Mike McGrath from The Sun. As always, good to talk to him in the UK. Don't forget, after the Diogos, it's All Night Appetite with Scott Cooney. That's it for this week's show. Gents, we'll be back next week, and we'll be discussing the finals of the A-League. So remember, Carlos,
we're Puerto Rican girls. Hang out.
We'll be there.
Where have you Samba Rumba and La Bumba?
We'll be there.
Wherever there are girls with fruit on their head and balls at their feet.
We'll be there.
Wherever gringos play football.
We'll be there.
We are the 4 Diogos.
Olé.